GoodSuccess.com. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for the privilege to learn from you again today. Blessed be your name in Jesus' name. Lord, we ask that you visit everyone and let no single person remain the same. Let no one return back the same way. Lord, we want to remain as efficient people, as people who make the best use of your resources. Father, in the name of Jesus, empower us to become those kind of people today. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. The topic remains 7 secrets of good success, how to break from obscurity to limelight. And the subtopic today is the law of efficiency. Efficiency is a word that is super related to productivity. In fact, you cannot talk about productivity without talking about efficiency. For you to be highly productive, you need to be highly efficient. So, the last 2 weeks, we were able to go through productivity and we learned a couple of things, including the enemies of productivity, which include issues and problems you didn't actually expect to happen and then they just showed up. Distractions, loss of will and eagerness. You plan to do a lot of things and then you end up doing almost nothing. Then maybe, for example, at the beginning of the year, you planned that you were going to do A, B, 1, 2 to 20, and you realize that even number one, you've been able to only achieve half of it. What is the cause? What is the reason behind all these things? So that's what we dealt with in productivity. And we'll be talking more today about efficiency. How do we become highly efficient people? When you look at the life of Jesus, Jesus lived here on earth as a very efficient person. Super efficient. In fact, somebody described it. I think it's that Selwyn Hill who used to write Every Day with Jesus. He described it like it was as if Jesus had a clock that he normally looks at in heaven and he knew the time for everything and he was efficient at doing it. When he healed people, they were made perfect. When he prayed for the sick, they were made perfect. When he took decisions, they were perfect decisions. And God wants you and I to replicate that in the life of Jesus. May God release that grace to you and I today in Jesus' name. Amen. In John 6:2, the Bible says, "So when they were filled, he said to his disciples, 'Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing is lost.'" The question is, if somebody was able to miraculously feed 5,000 men, not counting women and children, possibly they were probably up to maybe 10,000, 15,000 people. If he did that miracle, why was he concerned about the 12 fragments? It's something for us to know that God is super obsessed with maximizing time, maximizing resources, everything God provides. In fact, God said you will give an account of every idle word you speak. So every word I speak, every time I spend, everything I do, God is looking at how efficient I become. If God gives you one gift, he wants you to so maximize that gift that everybody will think you are the only one who had that gift in the world. God said we should make sure we finish our ministry. We maximize it. Whatever gift you have from God, if you think you don't have any talent, in quotes, you have the gift of time. Every day you are presented with 24 hours. I am presented with 24 hours. What do I achieve with every day? Until you and I become obsessed, that word obsessed, I'm using it responsibly and intentionally, until you become obsessed with time, that you are so obsessed to the point of minutes, then the kind of success that God expects from you and I may be far from it. You need to be able to book your time in such a way that you say, I'm starting 12:01 to 1:01. Not 12, let me just approximate it. No, don't approximate it. Every minute you count, every second you count. That is how to maximize life. The Bible also says in Proverbs 6:6-8, and this will be more relevant as time goes on in this episode, it says, "Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider our ways and be wise. Which, having no captain, overseer, or ruler, provides our supplies in the summer and gathers our food in the harvest." What is efficiency? The dictionary defines it this way. It says, efficiency is the state or quality of being efficient or able to accomplish something with the least waste of time and effort. Competency in performance. That means when you perform a task, when you do something and you are competent, that is what efficiency is. Are you confident? Are you efficient in your use of time and resources? God has given you 100,000. At the end of the month, what would you have done with that money? Will you look at it and be wondering, what did I do? No, you should be able to account for every penny. That is how God works. That is what Jesus did. I fed 5,000 or 10,000 or 15,000 people. However, I still want to have a record of what happened with the rest. The remaining fragments of food, they are even fragments, not big. So seconds are not wasted, minutes are not wasted. Those are fragments. He says, gather them. I want to see what remains. How did we efficiently use the resources that God gave us? That is what Jesus was portraying there. To be efficient, according to Bing Dictionary, it means to achieve maximum productivity with minimum wasted effort or expense. That means if you are given 1 hour, out of that 1 hour, the truth is this, you will most likely not be able to maximize the whole 1 hour. But you want to reduce wastage to the barest minimum. If I'm 30 years old, if I'm 40 years old, out of my 40 years, what amount of time out of those 40 years have I been able to maximize? Then I want to break it down to years. Out of the months of these years, how many months did I really, really maximize? Then how many weeks of this month can I say I really did what God wanted me to do? Then out of the weeks, how many days? Out of the days, how many hours? Out of the hours, how many minutes? Everything counts to God. And God says you will give an account. So that means when you're in your place of work, don't think only the employer is watching you. God is also watching you because we give an account. What did you do with your time? Were you watching videos on Facebook, on Instagram, on Twitter, or X, whatever they call it now? Did you maximize the time? You will give an account to God, not just to the boss, to God, because God is your real master. It also defines efficiency as working in a well-organized and competent way. If you and I are not organized, we cannot be efficient. Just use this example. If I have a table full of books, of pen, of different things, that means I will spend some minutes or seconds looking for things, which reduces my efficiency. It also reduces my competency because I'll be distracted along the way. What is efficiency? Preventing the wasteful use of a particular resource. That resource could be time, it could be money. For most of us, we are guilty of the way we use our money. Now, for many people, when you are at the level of hundreds, you are like, if I could just get 5,000 naira, I'll be able to do something. Or $5,000, I'll be able to do this and this. And then thousands came. And you realize that you are even less efficient than you were when you only had hundreds. And then now million has come. Then your level of wastefulness has increased. No, these are the things you and I should watch. Like maybe Bishop Oyedepo normally says it, that if you are able to waste 1 naira, you eventually waste 1,000, and you eventually waste 1,000,000. Because see, it's just relative to your level. Somebody will buy a watch that costs millions of naira and will not even feel it because he has billions of naira in his account, or even dollars. But if he doesn't need it, he has just wasted it. The same way, when you think, oh, 1,000, no, you just 1,000. I mean, I can just give somebody, or like we say it's Nigeria, that's somebody 1,000. That person doesn't need it. You just wasted it, so to say. Or you just bought something you don't need based on what you have. You really don't need it at that time. You are not supposed to afford it, but you bought it. You just said that it's 1,000. Then a time is coming that you're just going to buy something of 1,000,000 like that, and you feel like it's just 1,000,000 because now you have billions in your account. So it's at this level, whatever level you are, whether in millions or thousands or billions, whatever level you are, you want to be able to maximize your time, your resources. For some people, relationship is the resource they have. We are just wasting relationships here and there. You were supposed to call someone, you just felt, no, I'll call him tomorrow. You are wasting that relationship gradually and gradually until that relationship becomes nothing. For some people, it's marriage. The time you are supposed to commune with your family, talk to your wife or talk to your husband or give attention to your children, you're like, I'll do it tomorrow. Procrastination. You are procrastinating. You are becoming less efficient by the day. And God says you will give an account. May God give us understanding in Jesus' name. How do we live an efficient life? An efficient life is a life of maximum impact. Maximum impact, not just impact, maximum impact. So if you are the oldest brother or oldest sister in your family, what kind of impact do you have on the younger ones? You want to have maximum impact. If you are a parent, what kind of impact do you have on the children? Wherever you work, in a school, in a company, in a business, what kind of impact do you have? You want it to be a maximum impact. That is the realm we all want to be in and should be in. If you have a task of felling a tree, how do you become very efficient? If you are given a task to cut a tree down, you have different options. You can even use a knife by just, you know, eating the tree with a knife. Maybe after 1 month, you will finish cutting the tree. That's the way to do it. You can use a cutlass. You can use an axe. And then you can use different other options. Maybe use a chainsaw or use a more sophisticated automated way. It's all up to you and based on the resources you have. So look at every task of life as if you're going to cut a tree. You have a competition to cut down a tree and you're competing with several people with the same size of tree, the same height, the same tool. Or if you have the option of choosing different tools, what are you going to do? You want to be in marriage? That is like felling a tree. How will you accomplish it? How will you target it? Are you just going to go in like everybody else without preparation? You want to start a business? How are you going to approach that? Are you just going to go into a business like everybody else? I want to buy and sell. Then you just go to the market, buy and start selling. You're just going to have the same result with everyone else. You and I cannot have efficiency like that. So the first thing you want to look at in efficiency is how. How? See, how you accomplish a task will determine how efficient you will be. So if I was going to fell a tree or cut down a tree, the first thing I should do is to learn the art of tree felling. And how do I do that? Through reading. Many of us have forgotten even reading. And I was guilty of that. Until recently, you know, I was struggling with some aspects in my business. I'm like, what's happening? I've spent months on that aspect. What's happening? What's happening? And then I talked to a few people. And then they were all pointing to the same sets of books. I was like, really? I just bought 5 books straight away. And I started reading. And I'm still on the first one. But I can tell from reading those few pages that no, these things are not hidden. They are just stored in a book. I should have assessed all these things all the while. So you want to invest in reading. What area of life do you want to become efficient? Read. There are so many secrets in the book that will not even require you to pray anymore. By the time you find out the truth in that book, you will realize that all you need to pray for is the grace for you to do what is required. How? That is the first thing. How do I accomplish this task? See, the first thing that comes to you and I is to use what we call native intelligence. What is native intelligence? How it's always been done. If you want to get married, for example, what is native intelligence? Just find a girl you like, pray, God led you, then get married. That is native intelligence. That is normal intelligence. If you want to go beyond what everybody has accomplished, you want to learn through reading, through counseling. You want to take some counsel. You want to start a business. Don't just say, I have a skill. I know about a service. Then I'm jumping in. Trust me, you will struggle. I have done it before. I have struggled until I had access to higher knowledge. So reading is the first thing. Counseling. Make sure you have access to people who have gone through that route before. Do you know anyone who has been in that business or who has been in business before? If there is no one who has done that business before, look for somebody who has the closest knowledge to what you want to do. Do you want to be in politics? Look for any politician who has been in politics and did not soil his garments. That is the only way. If you go by yourself, you'll be shocked at how much compromise you have in your life. In fact, you will find yourself in Babalawo's house and you'll be shocked. Like, how did I get here? You got there because you did not learn how to do it. Somebody must have done it before. So counseling is the way out. Mentorship. Even in business, you'll be shocked at how much compromises you'll be at. It's hard to do business. I can tell you that. So if you don't know the way to go, and you are not strong in the spirit, you will have a lot of compromises. You will lie. You will deceive people. You will do all manner of things. You will find yourself looking for a way to cheat your partner because now you need money. Now you are under pressure, but you don't want to be there. I don't want to be there. So counseling, mentorship, that's subjecting yourself to intentional mentorship. Don't look for mentors. You can just say, oh, I'm busy, I will see you tomorrow. No, you want to look for mentors that they are so busy that you have to beg them to give you time. Because when they give you something, you will listen. You want to look for those kind of mentors. Then observation. Remember the law of observation. We've done all these things before. Law of observation, law of mentorship. Please go to the website and listen again. I will also try to listen to all these things again myself. So observation is one way. If you are going to fell a tree, you are in a competition, and then some other people are doing that competition. Yours is probably next day or next week, and some people are doing it today. Go and watch, go and observe, see how they missed it. So apply this in every area of life, in business, in career, in marriage. If somebody failed, don't join the people who are saying, it's because that guy, his own is too much, that's why it's no. Go and learn, how did he fail? Why did he fail? You're having whatever challenge in any area of life, go and look for those who have had that challenge before and learn from them. It is one of the easiest ways, cheapest ways to have victory. So how will you go about it? Learn a new skill if you have to. How will I go about this? So don't just use traditional or native intelligence, like I said. Make sure you dispel darkness and ignorance by knowledge. The Bible says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Then the other thing you want to do is grow, grow, grow. Now, if I'm going to cut down a tree and I'm going to use an axe, what do I want to do? I want to build muscles. If I don't even know how to cut yam, I want to develop some muscle. That is all I need to do. Because if I don't have strength, the Bible says, if you fail in the days of adversity, your strength is small. You are weak. So grow. How do you grow? You want to look at the spiritual aspect, prayer and fasting. Pray, fast. Prayer and fasting can remove all manner of distractions. So for example, somebody who is in a race, who is running. Have you seen people running before and they are very good and they eventually fail? See, let me tell you, it is hard for somebody who has fallen in a sprint to win again. Very hard. Very hard. You are competing with equally good people that maybe by grace you are just a little better than them. That a little better made you faster than them by 0.something seconds. Now you now fail. You are almost defeated already. So, through prayer, you can avoid all those distractions, all those things that can make you fall along the way. You can destroy them by prayer and fasting. That is the power you have as a child of God. That is the advantage you and I have as children of God. So, unforeseen wastages. For example, you've planned your December. This is how much I'm going to spend it. And then sickness just came up. And then you start spending money, buying drugs. No, that can be taken care of by the spiritual. Then growing also, I talked about growing muscle. That's in that area, practice. Practice can make you super perfect. I can tell you that. Recently, I had to start doing webinars. The first one I did, I was shocked at the kind of blunders I made. I was shocked at how I did the webinar. And I've been talking for long. At least I've been doing this podcast for a long time. But because this is a different aspect I've not been talking before, business, I was struggling. Then I realized that no, I need practice. So I'm practicing through different channels now. Because now I'm talking business. I'm not talking Bible. I'm not talking life. I'm not talking mentorship. I'm not talking other things. These are the things I've been doing before. But when it comes to business, talking about things to make people buy and sell, that's a different skill I didn't have before. Now I'm growing that because I didn't have it before. So develop some muscle. Now prayer and fasting and then growing will help you develop and see the fastest and more efficient parts. Then, which takes us to the next one, what is the tool I need to use? If I'm going to sell, I may think, oh, let me just sell, open a shop. You may not need a shop again. Not even in this age of AI, and every price is going up in real estate and all that. You may not need to even have a physical shop. You don't need to. For many people, not everybody. Some people are mandated by legal laws to have a physical office. Not that. So even in the physical office, some people can just still be working from home in your office. And then only the people that need to be in the office are there. Maybe just the receptionist and all that. That's all that needs to be in the office. So you get a one room place and then call it the office, and then you're using it. Most businesses may not need that. Even I think Microsoft, I was reading recently, maybe they have like 3 times more people outside than those who are working in a brick and mortar office. So look at the tool. What do I need to change? Do I need to do it the way it's been done? I need to do something different. Sharpen your axe. Do a review of the tool you have. Is there a better one? Ecclesiastes 10:10 says, if the axe is dull and one does not sharpen the edge, then it must use more strength. But wisdom is more profitable to direct. So I don't want to do it the way it's been done before. I want to do it a different way. Now, if I'm going to cut a tree, what will I do? If all I have is a cutlass or a knife, I know there must be a better way. I look for a cutlass. After a cutlass and I've done some exercise with it and I, this is too much. Let me go and look for axe. Axe is heavier and more efficient. Then axe, all my muscle, every part of my body is paining me after using it. Then I want to look for a chainsaw. That's better. Then there are other ways that automate tree cutting. You need to watch videos of how some trees are being cut. There's a tractor that will hold the tree, cut the tree, pull it down, cut it, put it into pieces, pack it together, turn some into sawdust immediately. You'll be shocked at how efficient these things are. People are just pressing buttons and that's all they are doing. So there are different ways. If you want to go into a business or into a career or into marriage or into any area of life, parenting, whatever it is, anything you want to do, sharpen the axe. It makes life much more easier. It makes you more efficient. And then it takes you to the next thing. When? What is the best time of the day to actually achieve this result? The Bible says in Proverbs 31, talking about the virtuous woman, it says she wakes up early. Jesus also rose up early. Early may not be your own best time. Maybe early, everybody is distracted and whatever. If it's the night, then you want to look at the night. Use the best time of the day to accomplish that task, because you may be 100% or 500 times more effective when you do it at the right time. If you are going to cut a tree, for example, you don't want to start around 12 p.m. when the sun is probably the hottest. No, you want to start very early in the morning so that most of your energy already used when everywhere is cool. You have natural AC from God and then you're able to have more results. So when is the best time? When? If God has given you the idea to start a business, for example, I always talk about business because I love business. I'm a business person. You want to look at the best time. The best time may be now. The best time may not be now. It may be for you to wait a little. For example, if you are selling a seasonal thing, you don't want to start selling ice cream to people when it's raining or in winter. No. You want to sell it when is the hottest time of the year. So you have to plan what you're going to do before that time of the year, or else you won't be making sales. So when is the best time so I can become more efficient? And then the second to the last point, company, who should be by my side when I'm doing this? Who are the people that should be by my side? Sometimes you just need others to help you or cheer you on, like we did in Anchored on Hope. And please, if you have not downloaded the book, download and read it. If you don't have anyone to help you, the Bible says two are better than one because they have a better reward for their labor. So you sometimes need somebody to help you. Don't live life alone. Sometimes you just need people not to even help you, but to cheer you on. You need somebody to just look at you and say, Omo, you did try. That is all you need sometimes, because many of us are struggling. By struggling, I'm not saying it in the negative part. I'm saying you are working so hard. You are doing so many things, wearing so many hats, doing business, having a career at the same time, family, taking care of your family at home, doing everything together, and you are working so hard and you don't even have anyone to say, you know what, well done. Everybody who comes around you, they are coming to take advantage. They are coming to say, give me some money, give me this. No, you need people to look at you straight in the face and say, man, well done, you are really trying. And sometimes, you know what, look at yourself in the mirror and say, man, you are trying, you are doing a lot, you are doing a good job. If nobody says that to you, say that to yourself. This is a matter of relationships. Be in the right company. The Bible says that if you walk with the wise, you'll be wise, and a companion of fools will be destroyed. You want to look at the relationships around you. And the new year, you are saying, These people this year, they didn't add anything to my life. They brought me down. Every time I want to walk in righteousness, they're always bringing me down. You know what? Enough. Go your way. Let me go my way. And some of them, you can't really separate from them. Like family, like husband, like wife. You can't separate from them. What you need to do is pray for them so that God will help you to make the right decision. And then, this company also covers mentorship. There are some mentors that you need to have in your life that will just look at you and say, yes, you are going the right way. No, you are not going the right way. That's not how to do it. You know, if you are cutting the tree 180 degrees, you may not have much impact. But you know what? Bend your axe a little. Do it at 45 degrees. And you may just see that a lot of changes come. A little word can make the difference. And then, of course, you don't want to miss the place of the Holy Spirit as your number one mentor. And then lastly, just go ahead to become efficient. You've learned all these things. You have the right tool. You know the time to do it. You have grown your muscle. You know how to do it. You have improved your skill. Just step ahead and become efficient. Step ahead to do the work. Planning and programming and getting prepared without doing the work is still nothing. The person is still wasting his time. The parable of talents, that last person kept it safe. He did not waste the money. He kept it safe, but it was not efficient. He could have done something with the money. There is always something to do with the resources God has given you. And then remember that while doing it, it will require a lot of discipline. I need to be more disciplined. You need to be more disciplined. To say no, one of the things that many of us may need to learn this new year is to say no. More no to people. Strong no. Why smiling? And I've said it before. Look at people and say, no, I won't come. They say, no, come. I mean, you planned your day. You had a time, you plan what you needed to do. And somebody say, let's just go and shop. You're like, I shopped yesterday. I don't have any plan to shop today. Many people just jump up and say, let's go. No, tell them, no. And smile. I mean, give them a very big smile. And say, you know what, I really can't be there. I have some things planned. Sorry, thank you. Maybe next time. Let's plan next time. Smile to them and say no. Because this new year, you want to be more effective. It will include you saying no, even to nice people. Say no to them nicely and then schedule another time. Make it up. There's a time to have some fun. Make it up. But if it will interrupt the plan of God for your life, you know what? Learn to say no and smile while saying it. That's it all for today. I hope we've been blessed. One way or the other. Let's just take the 4 minutes we have to pray. We all know, like Paul said, he said, we plan to come to you many times. He said, but the devil hindered us. So we know there's always a spiritual path to all these things. You plan so many things and then all manner of distractions, all manner of hindrances started coming away. So let's take your time and pray. The Father, I decree that concerning this new year, every distraction that the devil may have planned my way, I curse them, I destroy them, in the name of Jesus. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that for everyone here today, every distraction, every hindrance that the enemy may have planned for us, I destroy them in the name of Jesus. I decree that everything we plan today to do this new year will become very effective in the name of Jesus. Effective, efficient with the use of our time, with the use of our resources, in the name of Jesus. Grace to say no at the right time. Lord, release it to us in the name of Jesus. Grace to take our lives in our hands and take responsibility for pleasing you, for doing the right thing at the right time. Release it to everyone, Lord, today. In the name of Jesus, empower everyone to begin to walk in wisdom, to walk by redeeming the time, to walk by taking the right steps, appropriate steps. In the name of Jesus, grace to grow, grace to learn, grace to submit ourselves to mentorship and counseling. Release it to us all in the name of Jesus. Let no one return back the same way. Father, I pray that for everyone here today, Lord, grace to take spiritual responsibility, to pray, to fast, to do what it takes, to be efficient, to succeed. Lord, release it to us all in the name of Jesus. Grace to learn from your word. Grace to read other books. grace to discern between what is right and what is wrong. Grace to even take the right steps. Lord, release it to us in the name of Jesus. Grace to plan our time. Grace to program. Grace to follow it. Grace to be disciplined. Lord, release it to us in the name of Jesus. Empower everyone to begin to walk in effectiveness, to walk in efficiency in the name of Jesus, and to overall be productive, so that at the end you will say, well done, good and faithful servant. Come into the joy of the Lord in the name of Jesus. Even in soul winning, empower us to be effective in the name of Jesus. Give us new ways. Give us new wisdom to be effective, to be efficient in the name of Jesus. Thank you, awesome God. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Thank you everyone for joining. And may God bless you all. Even as we enter into the new year, I pray that grace for us to maximize the new year, to the point that you look back and say, no, this new year is worth 1,000 times every other year. May be released to you and I in the name of Jesus. And this will be a reality. You will look back and say, yes, this is 1,000 times more in the name of Jesus. So shall it be. And please, please, and please, invite someone. Even as you come next week, just bring someone, invite someone to join. Even if they don't have data, bring them near the phone and let them be blessed. And listen to the recording also. Remember the recordings I mentioned, the law of observation and the law of observation and the law of mentorship. So please, let's listen to it and then plan, pray, and get a mentor and see the difference it makes. It makes a lot of difference. And may God bless you and I, even as you go, in Jesus' name. Have a wonderful, wonderful week, and stay ever blessed, in Jesus' name. See you. Bye.
The good success.com.